You're listening to The Threshing Floor.
This is a Threshing Floor pre-rapture edition. Friday, May 20th, 2011. Hope you catch the humor in that, especially if you hear this later in the paradigm we call linear time. I'm Randy Moggins. I find it interesting how the media fixated on this current prediction by Harold Camping of this rapture occurring tomorrow, which is May 21st, 2011. This has been the fodder of major media outlets for a number of days now, cable news networks, radio talk shows, YouTube, and even the front page commentary of USA Today. Some have speculated that this may be the open window for a major catastrophic event. They say, well, maybe the eruption of the New Madrid Fault in the central southern United States. And there is some veracity to that speculation given the current extreme and man-driven, perhaps, weather, the flooding of the Mississippi and the still looming gaping wound in the Gulf of Mexico. But when there is no rapture on this date, and barring some V-like massive abduction by off-planet beings, there will not be a rapture. Any rapture that we have will be fake. What we're left with is just another discredit to what's called Christianity, especially apocalyptic Bible believers, and another layer of disbelief in the true God, Yahweh, and his sent Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This goes well into the continuous cycles of failed prophecies by the so-called practitioners of Bible prophecy. And I've lately come to the conclusion that the Bible as we currently have it, and it is as it is being used or misused, is a broken map in the predictive prophecy methodology that we've heard for many years. Man's mishandling of the written word has a long legacy of not only being wrong, but of continuing to discredit God by the very people who claim to speak for him. And, you know, so with Harold Camping and this standing prediction and the clamor around it, I think this is another tripwire, another setup, and I hope that once it fails, those out there who still lean to time-laden predictions, those who continue to use the Bible as some sort of predictive system, will back off a little bit and actually hear from God. That's a subject for another show, but again, a caution that many cults have been built upon failed prophecies. in the modern era, certainly going back to the Millerite Adventist group, which morphed into the Seventh-day Adventists. Miller had several failed predictions that Jesus Christ would return to earth between the spring of 1843 and the spring of 1844, and later that Jesus would return on October 22nd, 1844, all based on their reading of Daniel chapter 8 and the doctrine of biblical inerrancy, a doctrine which I hold as flawed based on the missing data of the accepted books, and worse, much worse, man's flawed left brain attempts to decipher spiritual events based on a linear timeline. Two more points on this. The Bible-based methodology employed by nearly every pastor, prophet, teacher, etc., is flawed because of distortions in the time continuum. We have cyclically lost patterns of time as recorded in the texts, including the Hebrew feast cycles, and I beckon you back to the early work that we did on Threshing Floor with the Lord's calendar for that, because I think we were being shown something there. I think the reason it couldn't possibly work out was because of the fact that we've had distortions. Previous cycles of what we call earth changes, or in the Velikovsky jargon, earth catastrophes, which skewed the timelines, much like these earthquakes that we're having now are skewing the timelines as well. Just imagine the skewing of timelines when you have a near planetary collision, such as Velikovsky talked about. I'm talking about Worlds in Collision, the work of Emmanuel Velikovsky. Well, that last earthquake in Japan, the tsunami, the tsunami earthquake that we had in 2004, and all these little micro earthquakes that we're having, each one of them distort the timeline. So just imagine how massive distortion of timelines were. And I was at one point told by a very eminent scholar that these catastrophes occurred up to around 400 years before the time of Jesus. So trying to track things through a biblical timeline is a fool's errand, in my opinion. I believe prophecy is non-temporal. That is, they will fulfill, but in cycles beyond our comprehension. Again, because of space-time distortions and the fact that time is not as linear as we perceive it. And that real prophecy is a prophetic unction of the spiritual mind and not the left hemisphere functions of the human brain, of reasoning and deciphering and parsing words and numbers. I mean, this isn't even through the glass darkly. We cannot, for the most part, even see the glass. So stay close to the Spirit, to the inward voice of the Holy Spirit, and you will be guided and protected. So where are we now? So talked about for nearly 2 years, we are in what we call the shift, what some have termed the transition. To refresh memories a little bit here, this is what I wrote and spoke in December. It was December 23rd exactly of 2009 when I said a sharp shift in the spirit is occurring, a mobilization of forces which will clash in the realms of powers and principalities. The prophetic clarion call has to do with healing, deliverance, and restoration to those who follow the living God. What follows that healing is an empowerment of authority to take back ground, even the holy ground which has been defiled and illegally appropriated. This is about your healing, it's about your destiny and the future of your generations and the consummation of an ancient battle. I also stated the war is coming and it will be in multiple dimensions. In space-time shifts, in the natural, in the spaces above, in the earth, and below in the abyss. It is about perception and consciousness. Repent, change your mind. That's what that means. We are not here to massage your reality, but to disrupt it. We are now leaving the comfort zone to move to the extreme change. The shift is here. To survive, you need to be in the sewers, in the place of the still. And that came from The Threshing Floor, November 17th, 2010, the program entitled The Shift. So those who have been asking about this new thing, this new doctrine of late, the things that I've been talking about on the show that have caused a lot of divisions and a lot of furor, clearly you haven't been listening. What manifests and that which comes to bear in the realm we call real are direct reflections of both our individual and collective minds, our consciousness. Humanity as a whole are asleep, even though they walk and they function in what's called real time, as if time is actually real. They are unawakened. They are essentially automatons, zombies, caught in the cycles of birth, life, death, wealth, poverty, sickness, and wellness, all relative states that have no absolutes. Each change in a life state of the moment-by-moment ticking of the artificial clock brings emotional responses, triggering chemical and electrical responses in what is called the limbic system of the brain. Also, what is called this limbic system, the paleo-mammalian brain, which is more an anthropological term tied to the false theories of human evolution. Now, why do we want to talk about this? Well, it's important because in order to understand where we are, we need to understand what we are and who we are. And for many believers today, you don't know who you are. You are tied to a three-dimensional system. You are tied to left brain functions. You are tied to motor responses hardwired to your physical consciousness, and you're not transcending. You're not moving into the spirit. Now, this limbic system is really a set of response centers in the human brain that monitor and support behaviors and functions such as motion, behavior, long-term memory, and olfaction. That would be the sense of smell. These in turn influence the endocrinal system and the human autonomic response system, a visceral nervous system, a complex of responses such as heart rate, digestion, salivation, perspiration, the diameter of the pupils, micturition, which is urination, and sexual arousal, among others. In other words, this order of brain function is what we call the monkey brain, or our primal response center. Sorry to get technical on that, but the brief explanation will be useful to understand some larger spiritual issues related to change, fear, and the primal responses of fight and flight. In the fight-or-flight scenario, we observe the following. The organism diverts blood flow away from the gastrointestinal system, the GI tract, and skin via vasoconstriction. Blood flow to skeletal muscles and lungs is enhanced by as much as 1,200% in the case of skeletal muscles. We dilate bronchioles of the lungs, which allows for greater oxygen exchange. Increases in heart rate and the contractility of cardiac cells, thereby providing a mechanism for enhanced blood flow to the skeletal muscles. Pupils dilate, relax muscles to the lens, allowing for more light to enter the eye and for better vision. We see vasodilation for the coronary vessels of the heart. We see a constriction of the intestinal sphincters and the urinary sphincter. We see an inhibition of digestion, and ultimately, we would see a stimulation of orgasm. This is all part of the fight-and-flight syndrome. In other words, all the base human responses related to the protection, propagation, and base requirements of the human being. Now, none of these responses are good or evil. They are. As biological beings, we require these responses to survive in a physical dimension. The key emotional triggers, such as threats to the self, stimulation of desires like hunger or lust, the perception of an imminent danger, any changes that would jeopardize the biological unit or change its state, trigger the limbic system and begin a cascade of response resulting in heightened state of physical and emotional readiness. We live in a time where these responses are on a constant red alert. Our exposure to streams of constant information, bombardment of the senses by media, radio, TV, magazines, billboards, and their embedded subliminals, the atmospheric changes created by the onslaught of man-made energy waves in our atmosphere, radio waves, microwaves, scalar waves, the radio and TV waves in our environments, the Wi-Fi transmitters that are now nearly ubiquitous, These are signals that come into our environment. They are all environmental triggers that have posed to the human entity what we would call a state of constant agitation, a state of perpetual excitation of our base human responses. This is not an accident of modern culture, but a design. This design is a signpost of the era we were born into, and what was referenced in the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 2 as the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, that's important, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, it talks here about times past, and I'm going to go into this a little bit more because there's an overlap, there's a convergence in two worlds. And that's what we're really getting at. We're not really in some modern era of advanced technology. We've actually gone back to the technology that has existed for many, many millennia. This word courses in the King James Version Bible is also rendered as age. And notice the symptoms given by the writer there. The desires of the flesh, lust, primal desires. Doing the wishes of the flesh, fulfillment of the perceived needs. In other words, the limbic system being fired. And of the thoughts or imaginations, what we would call responses to the base emotions. This is also being rooted in the limbic system of the brain and a triggering of the autonomic system. This technological age into which all of us are born could not possibly fit more precisely a more exact picture of human beings in bondage to the satanic system, the same one described in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. We live in a fulfillment of this present era, but it's not new. It's been here before. It's been here for a long time. It is a system of perpetual agitation, the triggering of our base emotions, constant barrage of triggered base responses, the perversion of our sexuality, the exploitation of our visual, auditory, and yes, above all, fear responses, the fight and flight of the monkey brain, which reacts most intensely to this ongoing physical arousal in the world around us. Now, this brain doesn't really differentiate between responses. Lust and anger are remarkably similar. The source of stimulation isn't mitigated by the monkey brain. One may respond to a very real danger and a subliminal trigger in very much the same way. Our senses are bombarded by media. Understand that the modern entertainment industry and entrainment would be a more fitting term as we are being programmed on a global level. Just notice the slight alteration, the difference between the words entertainment and entrainment, because brain entrainment is exactly what we have all around us. We are now being programmed on this global level. It's just another arm of what is called this military industrial establishment. Now, the age we're in was foreseen and even preordained from of old, because as Solomon once noted, there is nothing new under the sun. Technology is not new, nor is it man-made, but it is inspired. Note the spiritual component in that. It's inspired by a counterpart in the realms of the ruling dimension. You could call it the Matrix. The dimension of the fallen ones, the archons, which presently rule, the children of disobedience. This psychotronic net, the power of the air, which converts the earth, is a very old system, and it has been restrained, beaten back by what has been termed in the scriptures as the great war in the heavens, the battle of watchers and holy ones. Because we think we're modern, that this time is when man is advanced to harness the science of atoms, molecules, electricity, and forces which are, quote, invisible. And because of historical revisionism by our historians, professors, institutes of higher learning, our governments, and especially our churches, we have lacked the comparative context to understand that literally we live in the times of the return of these fallen ones. This is why, by the way, I continue to do programs like Exotica Off Planet Radio, because your pastors, your preachers, your churches, your prophets failed to warn you about what really lies ahead in the very near future. These Archons, these fallen ones, these Nephilim, their kingdoms are maintained and now reopened by the very bloodlines, the ruling elites we call the Anunnaki. The hybrid bloodlines of human-angelic children, which go under many names in both the accepted scriptures and the so-called outside books, ancient literature, and in the pictograms and structures arrayed around the planet. We think of the ancient myths of the shadows of ancient worshipping systems, from the Sumerians and Egyptians to the cultures of the Mayans, Aztecs, Toltecs, tribal American cultures, as something removed from our present modern systems. We are not superstitious. In fact, we can declare God and the gods dead by our science and our evolutionary process. But it is in fact the very lies of religion, all religion, that has hidden from us the very dangers we now face. God told us through the prophet Hosea, "My people were destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject them." And those are the things we have to think about, the things we have to look at, because we truly live in times that are very dark. We are truly living in an orb of fear and a time when things are about to heat up on planet Earth. We'll take a break here and come back on the other side. I want to talk more about this on the threshing floor.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places. Worn out faces, riding early for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
Welcome back to the second half of this Threshing Floor episode. No fear, no fight. That's what we're talking about. Basically, we're going into the structure of this present world and taking a hard look at ourselves in the context of where we live and the times that we are now going through. Many people predicting many things, and we need to look at that. We need to look at where that comes from. And we need to also battle and combat against the turmoil that occurs inside of our minds and our spirits. Begin to understand who we are, where we came from, and how we're going to stand in the present time. Scriptures always seem to allude to battles, to destructions on the earth that are ordained, seemingly, by the Creator. The trigger is nearly always ignorance, and ignorance is fear. It was the task of the prophets in all times to warn and to instruct. Ancient Israel would lose their instructions, called the law, or the commandments, and fall into darkness, fall into fear, and eventually into war. The 11th chapter of Daniel details in cryptic but extensive detail this ancient battle fought in the heavens and paralleled in the earth realm with the mention of an earthly king, a ruler, probably one of those who would be called the Anunnaki, is honoring the God of Forces, as it's called in the King James Version Bible, or the God of Strongholds, the God of War. Man learned war from these ancient gods, and beginning at Babel in the Hebrew Scriptures, man literally fought against Yahweh, the Creator, as pictured Nimrod, a hybrid ruler described as a mighty man, a giant, who was also the spawn of what is called the Gibberim, a tribe of half-human, half-Nephilim warriors. Both of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah and Micah, nearly paralleling each other in their rendering state, and he shall judge, this being God, among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against one another, neither shall they learn war any more. Man learned war and has been spiritually driven for millennia to continue warring. The continued fear, the continued exploitation and conquering. Not for defense or for gain, but to destroy the spiritual nature hidden deep inside the human spirit which God created. The first act of murder, of Cain slaying Abel, was an act of war against the Creator. It was a vicious act of both fear and lust, the activation of the limbic system in service to self. And we live in the orb of fear. Our present understanding of this earth, which is separate from the world is a system of the present age, our understanding of that in the context of what we call metaphysics is limited to the monkey brain, our senses, perceptions, and group consciousness. It is the product of conditioning, historical revisions, and a stunting of the spiritual senses which we were originally created with. The original creation was a spiritual earth, separate, I believe, from the present physical creation. This may explain why there are two creations in the book of Genesis, one seen in chapter 1 and the second in chapter 2. This goes as well into the spiritual overlay, which we talked about in the third day studies for a number of years. This spiritual earth, it seems at some point, probably the flood of Noah, merged with the present physical earth as a catastrophic event which literally fused two worlds, two planets, two timelines, two civilizations into the lower earth which we presently inhabit. It is, I guess, very controversial to say that. Can I prove it? Would it explain the anomalies of historical gaps seen in the scriptures, and would it not explain what we call the fall, where a creature once divinely walking with God suddenly is snapped back to some more primitive spiritual estate, disconnected from the Almighty and living in a realm inhabited with demons, murder, lust, and war? For that bit of speculation, we would need to delve deeper into the ancient myths, the ruins of megalithic sites, and a history to which we have very little access. There is strong evidence amassed in research that indicates just such an event may have occurred, and that we are now in the age, a changing of ages, actually, when these two constructs are about to separate. This present world, this physical earth which we inhabit, is a far cry from the one pictured in both the Bible and the ancient mythological writings. The biblical Eden was perfect. It provided perfect water, perfect light, system of vegetation that required no labor of the creature, the human. That creation lived in perfect harmony with other creatures, the animals. That original creature lived in perfect peace and was in direct contact with its creator. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Enoch was the last of the old world, referenced by the New Testament book of 2 Peter. Let's read this. 2 Peter 2:4, and for those who say I threw the Bible out, sorry, I am reading scripture here, the King James Version Bible. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, we've read these verses, and we think we understand them. But what I just talked about provides a context and a backdrop that I think we need to look at a little bit more carefully. Could it be, and we'll go with speculation here, could it be that this present world, this earth we now inhabit, is in fact this very same world of the ungodly? Is it hell? Well, on one level, what we understand about hell, which the Hebrew word was Gehenna, which is the trash dump, it's where they burn their garbage, is sort of superficial. We've sort of, over the years, taken that into eternal damnation and hellfire. And again, it's a subject for another show. But I think we need to stay on point with this and begin to understand that from my perspective in the spiritual hell, would be a separation from God, a fall. So could it be that this present world, this earth we now inhabit, could be this world of the ungodly? Go over to Hebrews 11:7. Let's read this, and then we'll harmonize it back with 2 Peter. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, so now we go back to Noah, which is after Enoch, the, let us call it, the spiritual earth at that point, the last generation of spiritual earth being Noah. Now, if that world, the world which Noah occupied, was condemned, and the flood was brought into, quote, the world of the ungodly, are we not talking about two worlds? The one which is described in 2 Peter as the world of the ungodly, and the one known as the old world, spoken about in 2 Peter, which was condemned by Noah. Now, if that world was condemned, did it not collapse? Could it have not fallen? Could it have not fallen dimensionally into this present realm, this present lower earth? This brings us to Revelation chapter 21 and the restoration of the spiritual kingdom. I'm doing leaps and bounds here because I want to nutshell a concept that maybe later on I can break out a little bit more. Revelation chapter 21 at verse 10, and we'll just read down on this. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. That's interesting. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, and most precious, even like a jasper. Notice how they use the feminine pronoun here, her. Why is it called her? We'll talk about that in a minute. So, her light's like a stone, most precious, even jasper stone, clear as crystal. This is a heightened state of light. And this city had a great wall and high, and it had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that walked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. This is a cube. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now, there's a whole lot of numerology here that actually summarizes a lot of things. But here again, we see 144, or 144. The number 1,000 in Scripture is the ultimate perfection of a thing. So here we have the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and the type and the shadow given in the earlier chapters of the book of Revelation is the 144,000 being this very same construct, the wall, the city of the New Jerusalem. Now, that goes to a lot of things in the New Testament, including living stones. So we're not looking at a literal construct in physical space-time dimension. The dimensions, the measuring here is spiritual, just as it was in the book of Ezekiel. Without going into an extensive study on this show, let me say this. This kingdom called spiritually the New Jerusalem, is this the restored old world? The spiritual kingdom from which we and the unholy angels fell. This kingdom, the spiritual earth, the New Jerusalem, is also referred to in the letter to the Galatians, where it says, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is called Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, this would be the physical world, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. There again is the feminine aspect in all this. It's the city of the Spirit. This present world, this world of the ungodly, this place we live in, this orb of fear, is passing away. The great shift that we are now experiencing is the shaking of all things which can be shaken, again, the book of Hebrews, and beyond this temporal realm is the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom you're not going to walk into with your monkey suit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption, death, inherit incorruption, immortality. So we have to look at the scriptures that we have, and we have to begin to understand what Jesus was trying to teach us about the inner kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. So what I just talked about here has something to do with an inner contact. It has to do with the Spirit. It has to do with things that we cannot touch, see, and wrap our minds around in a logical, linear, left-brain fashion. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The logical, the left brain, things that we process in our normal waking consciousness are not what we would apprehend as the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus came and why he did the things he did and why he left his teachings on how we were to begin becoming like him and basically ascend into a spiritual dimension. The New Agers get this. They have what they call ascension. Ascension to me looks a lot like rapture in that they view it as an escape rather than a transition, a movement from one form of being to another. So it's distorted. It's always distorted because evil desires to twist the things of God to its own ends. As I'm recording this show, the world is in complete delusion. Yesterday, President Barack Hussein Obama formally declared that Israel, that would be the nation state of Israel in the Middle East, has to return to the borders of the pre-1967 war, which effectively would divide Jerusalem, the city there. This in itself is going to inflame the sensibilities of the pro-Zionists here in America and around the globe. We've talked about this for years on the Threshing Floor and in the Third Day shows. We've talked about Zionism. We've talked about the Christian alliance with Zionism and how this is a tripwire for what will probably be called World War III, or what may be falsely called the Battle of Armageddon, or Gog and Magog. So we have to parse this stuff out real carefully, because again, we're trying to navigate a linear timeline against a spiritual backdrop. Barack Obama also declared that the Arab states must accept the existence of an Israeli state in their midst, a condition which the Arab mindset will never concede. So you see, in one fell swoop, this week, and it's a prophetically important week right now that we're in, because of everything that's going on around us, in this week, the foundation has been laid to divide the physical city of Israel, which is going to create conditions that are going to lead us into a great war. Perplexities compound right now. The Ring of Fire is lit. The major Holocaust in Japan, the tsunami earthquake, and now the half dozen nuclear meltdowns, which are occurring, but the press is not telling you about this, all point to a drama that is unfolding in this current time frame. The U.S. banking system, which is really the global cabal of European money masters, is engaged in a full-on war right now to preserve itself from the consequences it has sown for over 100 years. The rich men of the earth are seeing their own factions divided. Remember, Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Earlier this week, the IMF head, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, was arrested in New York on charges of rape and sexual assault on a hotel maid. Now, think back to the end of last year and the attempt to also frame WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange with a similar charge. Do we not see a pattern here? Look, what works, works with these guys. This is the easiest way to take someone down. And as of yesterday, Strauss-Kahn has resigned from the IMF, leaving the leadership open and more manipulation, more political finagling in the background. This was a takedown by the Rockefeller faction of the global cabal, ordered no doubt by David Rockefeller personally, as a tactic to further take down the Rothschild branch of the banking elites, even as they are papering this world in bad debts, phony bonds, and stolen booty. We are seeing dominoes, global dominoes, falling at a dizzying rate right now. The Earth, as I said in a show last year, is sacred. It is a living geomorphic sphere tied spiritually to the living God. Now, this is not earth worship or the Gaia construct of the New Age ranks. The scriptures actually tell us that this is the trigger of the wrath of God. Think back to the Gulf of Mexico almost now a year ago, the gaping wound, and read Revelation chapter 11, 18. It reads there, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. This is the tripwire for judgment. We are in a time of the shift. Cycles of judgment are rolling. There will not be a rapture, Harold Camping, ever. There may be a simulation or an attempt to simulate that. I think the television series V is a template for a delusion that is going to be staged to attempt to persuade us that our original creators, the off-worlders, the ETs, the Nephilim, are returning to restore order to Earth, rather than Jesus Christ, who would be seen in that role. So there will not be a rapture. There will not be some taking up. There will be a transition. And there is an escape. Jesus told us about this in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The power of escape is spiritual. It is the bridge between two worlds. The Christ came to show us the power we hold as spiritual beings, and yet many do not want to hear this message. Many have worked for centuries to hide the true message of Jesus, which was one of crossing over, of moving outside this orb of fear, and to walk between worlds on the bridge of a spiritual transfiguration, what is called in Romans the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. You can't do this in the flesh, and yet some, here in this present time, will begin to transcend the flesh, Christianity, the religion that sought to hide the things of God, has altered your understanding of Christ. It is deliberately, under the orders of the ruling elites and the direct control of the archons, the fallen ones, altered the scriptures, expunged the mystical writings, created a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and attempted to leave us without the very escape promised by Messiah. We who are striving in the Spirit have no part in the present wars. We have no battle, no fight to withstand, except the spiritual battle where God fights for us. No fear, no fight. Perfect love casts out all fear. Even now, the very elect are being deceived. Your religions, your Bibles, your particular form of godliness are not going to save you. If you resist the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, she will leave you desolate, crying in the gates of this orb of fear, this world system, this world, now condemned in a recycle of the days of Noah. I'm going to close out this show with a song. I'm going to dedicate it to a friend of mine, Dennis, who told me about it. He's hurting right now, as are many of you. We're not long for this present world. And in the world to come, your tears will be dried and all infirmities healed. The last enemy, death, will be vanquished. I want to thank you for your prayers and support. All my love and the divine love of the one God. In the days to come, I'm Randy Moggins. This has been The Threshing Floor.
It came to pass like a summer's day. You questioned life and lost your faith. You needed to believe in something that your eyes had never seen. Now you found that you can't find the answers to the questions that you had in mind. It's like a dial tone, no one's on the line. And now you're feeling so alone. Is the universe acceptable in your mind? Is the universe acceptable in your mind? Is the universe acceptable in your mind? Or do you need to see an explanation for the mystery? Trust your heart, it knows the way. In yourself, you need some faith. Don't listen to the crowd. No one's got this whole thing figured out. Listen to the voice inside, the inner self you long denied. The day that you were born, you were given everything you need to carry on. Acceptable in your mind, or do you need to see an explanation for the mystery? How many bright suns shine upon the lucky ones who wonder how far have we come, and will we illumination for the mystery.